On a Saturday afternoon in early May, Father Michael O'Brien knocked at the front door of the tidy house next to the bookstop. It opened immediately, and he found himself face to face with Ruth Fitzgerald, the longtime owner of the bakery cafe in town. "Hello, Father," she said, holding open the door. "Please come in." The elderly priest walked into the house and surveyed the scene. The place was quiet, even though several people were gathered there. At the far end of the living room, Ivy Collard leaned on her cane and adjusted the position of a bronze urn on a small table. Surrounding the urn were several bouquets of flowers and some framed photographs of Josie DeSanti. He watched as Ivy wiped her eyes and glanced around toward him, then at Rose and Emily, Josie's two adult daughters. They too were crying, though they stood apart from each other on opposite sides of the room. It had been a long time since he had seen Josie's children, and even longer since he'd seen them together. They were older and sadder, but other than that, not much different from how he remembered them. Rose's appearance was impeccable. Her blonde hair curved just above her shoulders, and she wore a simple but elegant black dress. She wore quite a bit of eye makeup, but her tears did no appreciable damage to it. Rose stood beside her husband, Sheldon, an older, balding investment banker with a slightly bored but properly solemn expression. Their 9-year-old son, Alex, was dressed to match his father in a perfect black suit. The little boy neither fidgeted nor whined. He stood silently between his parents, rubbing away the occasional tear that shimmered behind his glasses, and took it all in. Rose kept her gaze focused on the urn and occasionally dabbed at her eyes with a tissue. Emily stood alone, as far from Rose and her family as was possible in the small living room of Josie's house. She was as striking as Rose, but her appearance couldn't have been more different. Her natural beauty was only accentuated by a face devoid of makeup, a smattering of freckles high on her cheeks, and her soft red curls pulled back in a loose ponytail. Tears ran from her huge blue eyes, eyes exactly like her father's, as Josie had said so many times. Emily, too, was dressed in black, a simple skirt and top with a black cardigan two sizes too big. She stood with her arms wound tightly around her middle, as if to hold herself up. "It's good to see you, Father," Ivy said quietly. "I guess we're all ready now. Everything's just as she wanted." "Yes, thank you so much for coming, Father," Rose said, throwing her shoulders back and raising her chin. "You remember my husband, Sheldon Fry, and our son, Alex?"
"Of course."
Father O'Brien shook hands with both of them.
"It's good to see all of you again," he said with a glance over at Emily. "Although I wish it were under different circumstances."
Rose eyed Emily before continuing in her elder in charge voice. "I know Mom thought the world of you, Father, and she was so grateful for your help over the years." "Yes, she did, and she was," Emily said softly. "We appreciate your being here."
"Your mother was a wonderful person."
He walked carefully to the table where the bronze urn and photos were displayed. He bowed his head, said a silent prayer, and made the sign of the cross before turning back to the group.
"I still wish we could have had some sort of viewing," Ruth said. "But Josie's instructions were clear. She always hated the idea of herself in a coffin, with everyone staring down at her. Never wanted that to be the last people saw of her."
Ruth's voice broke, and she quietly excused herself to the kitchen.
"The poor thing."
Ivy shook her head as she lowered herself onto the sofa.
"She's right, though, and I expect we'll have quite a houseful today. Everyone in Mill River loved Josie. Lots of folks from Rutland knew her too, since she sold so many houses over that way."
"I still can't believe she's gone," Rose said. "I talked to her just last week. She never mentioned anything about not feeling well or having any sort of heart problem."
Emily sniffed and glanced over at her sister, but said nothing. As an awkward silence filled the room, Father O'Brien saw Josie's daughters make brief eye contact with each other.
"With respect to the burial," he said gently after a moment, I understand Josie wanted it to be a private family affair. Perhaps later on, after everyone has left, we could sit for a few minutes to decide on the timing and details. I don't have anything else scheduled today.
We probably won't get to it today, Father, Ivy said before either daughter could respond. I know it's unusual not to have a burial scheduled right after a wake, but that was Josie's doing. She wanted the girls to take care of something first.
Ivy looked at him for a moment with raised eyebrows and a strange gleam in her eyes, as if there were more that she wanted to tell him. Father O'Brien nodded, but he eyed her suspiciously. He knew Ivy well. In fact, he'd known her since some time in the early 70s, when she'd first moved to Mill River with her fiancé, Thomas Dearborn. They'd finally decided to give up their hippie sort of lifestyle and put down roots, and the friendly Vermont town had seemed to them to be the perfect place.